Please and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, as we finish our series on victory in Jesus. Coming up soon, starting next week, will be the kingdom parables. The parables of the kingdom that Jesus used to teach on it. Look at Matthew 11 as we look to God's Word. Matthew 11, verse 25. Now, some people say that's reading responsively. That means I'm going to read the odd ones, and you are going to read the even ones out loud. So find Matthew 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. By the way, all of you who brought a Bible just earned a single point for your team. Isn't that awesome? That's right. Bring your Bible. There you go. That a girl. Yeah, that a girl. That's right. I love it. I tell people, don't take my word for it. Look what the Bible actually says and let God speak to you. You are plenty able to understand this Bible. I'm no more capable than you are. And I love the way God speaks to us if we'll just read His word. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, if you found it, say amen. All right, I'll get started. Here we go. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are in labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. And once again, Father, we come to the throne of grace. We come before you today with our hearts and heads bowed, looking to you to do something great today in our service. Speak, O God, through your word. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak to us. We want victory. We want the abundant life Jesus offered us in John 10:10. I pray, God, please, if there's one among us today that has never put their faith and trust on Jesus, I ask today would be the day that they would. But for us who already have, I beg you, God, we want to walk in freedom. We want to be free. Speak. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this way. As I've been teaching you about victory in Jesus, what we've been doing is looking at the different things that bring us into bondage. We've been looking at how to have victory over worry, fear, discouragement, and addictions and things of that nature. And I want you to understand that when God saved your soul, it began the process. Here's the thing. Jesus gave us the spiritual algebra for victory in John 8. He said to the Jews that believe on Him. So number one, you got to believe on Christ. You got to be saved. That's where it starts. Because when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He delivers you from the penalty of sin. That means nowhere in heaven, on earth, or even in hell is there anything, any evidence, anything that can condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? When God saved your soul, when you realized you were a sinner and you repented of your sin by turning to Christ and putting your faith and trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary as payment for your sin, you were delivered from the penalty of sin. There's a glorious day coming. Oh, I'm telling you, when Jesus is going to return and we are going to be delivered from the presence of sin, we're going to go on to heaven. Listen, when I was first saved, I was young. I was 23, and I was hoping, Brother Dave, I was hoping Jesus wouldn't come back real quick because, you know, I wanted to have kids. You know what I'm saying? What a mistake that was. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm like, don't come back yet, Lord, I want to have kids. And then, Lord, don't come back yet, I want to own a house. And Lord, don't come back yet, I want to do this or that. Well, I'll tell you what. As I've gotten older, I got more waiting on the other side. Amen. I'm telling you. Well, I was down visiting Brother Duncan this week. Brother Duncan is a faithful servant of God. And Brother Duncan has got a crown awaiting on streets of gold by a crystal sea. In earshot of the heavenly choir, he will behold the face of God. To pray that he stay is cruelty with what's waiting. Do you understand that when Jesus takes us home, we will be removed. We will have victory from the presence of sin. But right now, the rest of us, while we're walking from the cross to the crown, we're here on this earth, we're living, and we are struggling against the controlling power of sin in our life. Yeah, even as Christians, it can happen. We can let it. So consequently, as I said, the first step in all of this is to be saved. To know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To have put your faith and trust on Him. Not just in Him. A lot of folks believe in Him. This is dependence. You're putting your faith and trust on Him. Now I want you to understand, when I was saved out of necessity. I came to an understanding that I had a need that I could not fill of my own. And when I got saved, I willed to be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? God never goes against your free will. I got saved. My preacher says you do what you want to do. When I was presented with my need, when I was presented with the solution to my need, it was up to me at that moment to choose. Think about it. You will, when you decided to be saved, that's when you got saved. You got saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, the first time I was presented with it, I said no. Second, third, fourth, fifth time I was presented with it, and I'll tell you, the days leading up to me trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, I knew I was lost. I knew my wife was right. I knew that if I didn't trust Jesus, I'd go to hell. And when the preacher offered it to me that Thursday night, October 9th, I said, no, thank you. Wasn't until later that evening I decided this is stupid. I'm being an idiot. I really am. I don't want to admit she's right. I'm letting my pride keep me from trusting Christ. And I submitted my will to God's and I admitted He was right. I'm a sinner. And I turned from my sin. I knew what I was doing. That was a decision I made. Because you do what you want to do. The first step is trusting Christ. But do you realize in our verses that we're reading right now, you want to know the will of God just like I do. I mean, we want to know what God wants for our life, right? We want to know what His will is. But do you realize you can't will to know the will? You can't make God do anything. Have you come to that realization just yet? Brother Dave, does God do things the way you think they ought to be done? No, He doesn't. He doesn't do them on my timetable, neither. What you're going to find is you can't will to know the will of God because our self-will gets in the way of God's will every single time. It's kind of like informed consent. Man, you're going to go to the doctor and they make you sign all those forms. One of them forms is called informed consent. That you are understanding the benefits and the risks of whatever they're about to do to you. And you're signing off on it. And the day I got saved, I signed off. I understood what God was doing. Now, God will not go against your free will. You still have the right to choose. Now, God may change your circumstances to where you're willing to go, but He will never go against your free will. Has God ever changed your circumstances? Huh? To where you're willing to do just about it? When God puts you on your back, there ain't no place else to go but up now, is there? Yeah, He'll change your will by changing your circumstances sometimes. But the thing is, in Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus is saying that God chose to reveal His will to those whose hearts were open and to keep it from those whose hearts are closed. Look at chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You cannot will to know God's will. You cannot make God reveal it to you when it's convenient for you. Nor can you make God change His will to fit yours, to suit you. To know the Father's will, you cannot have a will of your own that takes precedence over God's will. Gets in the way. So the second necessary decision we have as a Christian, first we make the decision to become a Christian. Now a lot of folks think becoming a Christian means getting in the water. That's not how you get saved. The Bible says it's not by the works that we do. But it's Him not giving me what I rightfully deserve. Titus 3:5. It's not by me earning points. I was talking to a loved one this couple weeks ago, and I was giving them the gospel and they're on the phone, and she said to me, I believe we secure our place in heaven by the good works we do. And I said, honey, I read the same Bible you do. That's not what that says. Your good works don't get you to heaven. You are giving up. When I got saved, I gave up on my good works. I gave up on being sweet and nice and playing sweet. I gave up on that, and I bowed my self-will to God's will, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I put my will under his and said, you know, in the garden, remember the garden when Jesus was praying the night he was arrested? What did he say? He said, not my will be done, but thine be done. And in his humanity, Christ bowed his self-will to God's will, that God's will would be done. So the second necessity a Christian must do, first be saved. Number two is to bow our self-will to God's self-will. Did you know you were born with a selfish nature? Did you know that? If you'll turn to the person next to you, if you're not sure, they'll fix that for you. They'll clear that up for you. They sure will. Ask your spouse, they'll tell you. Ask your kids, they'll tell you. What does that mean? Well, we do what we want to do, right? And that means we don't always do what's best for us. See, there's three groups of people out there. There are three groups of people in the world. One that says, what's mine is mine, and you can't have it. You know those people? Then there's, what's yours is mine, and I want it. Do you know folks like that? Or, what's mine is yours, if it'll help you. And as Christians, we are always battling between the what's mine is mine and you can't to what's mine is yours and if it'll help you. And we're battling that will of what we think's best for us. So to operate successfully in society, you know we have to respect authority. You have to. How many of you have ever seen a kid throw a fit at a store? See, I think they get it on camera for America's Funniest Home Videos. That's why they put all the shiny stuff and the candy right next to that cattle trough you have to go down at, called the checkout line. You know, they got you all boxed in. Cause it's funny. Little kids have arms that long. And but they can reach stuff that far away. It's like magic. Right? Huh? And have you ever seen a kid throw a fit at the mall or throw a fit somewhere and they're just like, ah, and the parent, the kid starts throwing a fit and the parents throw a barrage of no's. No, 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 no. Oh, fine. And everybody goes, no, you just gave in. Oh, oh, you just created a brat who will become a whiny adult and some other adult's going to have to crash their world. Thanks. Then what you do? You're like crazy. One of our kids used to throw themselves down on the concrete. And one day we were at the Peoria Mall and one of my boys threw themselves down and just throwing a fit. And Sarah and I just stepped over them. Kept walking. They got up and ran around, threw themselves down on the ground. We stepped over them. See, yes, your baby, that sweet, precious child of yours has a selfish nature. Yes, yours does too, not just mine. Mm-hmm. And they do. And their will has to be broken. They have to come in line and learn to respect authority. They will not function properly in society. And the truth is, as a Christian, it is our self-will that causes us the problem. Look, I've been preaching on victory in Jesus now for 6 weeks. And many of you have been like, that's right, preacher. Preach against tobacco and preach against alcohol and preach against gambling and porn. Go ahead, get those nasty sinners. Well, now I'm talking to you sinners who've cleaned up your life and are now respectable outwardly. You still have a self-will that gets in the way of God's will in your life and keeps you from having the victory. I mean, isn't that what you ask yourself? I've been walking with God for how long? And my life should be different and things shouldn't be so hard. And why? It's good that you've cleaned up on the outside. But the thing that is keeping you from total victory is your self-will. All of us have a selfish nature. Babies have it. And you know, we with one of our kids, we were demand feeding. And the thing about demand feeding is you create a kid that's demanding. That's really what you do. And what's crazy is, If you're constantly giving them what they want, who's actually in charge? I mean, your name's on the lease, don't get me wrong. Dominion Power is sent in to build your name. I get that. But if you end up doing what the kid wants all the time, who's actually in charge at that moment? So as a Christian, we have to deal with our will. We have to submit our will to his will before he can perfect his will in us. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. Some of you folks know what I'm talking about. And I used to watch that old sitcom called Who's the Boss? Remember that one with Tony Danza? Anybody? Got some 70s denial going on in here. But that's right, sister. Thank you. Thank you. We remember Who's the Boss? Tony Maselli, a former baseball player, forced into retirement due to an injured shoulder, wanted to move his daughter out of Brooklyn for a better life. So he took a job as a live-in housekeeper for an advertising executive, Angela, and her son. And at that time in American culture, the clear role reversal that was going on in the 70s of a woman who's going to earn the money and the man who was staying home and cleaning the house was apparent. And for 8 seasons, we watched that sitcom and laughed at the struggle of who was vying to be the boss of the house, who was actually in charge. And the problem is, as you and Christians, we're a lot like this sitcom. We live our lives in this constant struggle of who's actually going to be in charge today. Or at this moment, is it going to be God's will or my will? Do you understand? And that role reversal, it's hard. Why? Because we're naturally selfish. Who's going to be the boss? Now look, our self-will is impossible to please because you cannot satisfy your flesh. You just can't. It's never going to be happy. And you end up serving God in the power of your own strength and you get frustrated. We have to submit to God's will as our authority to actually get the victory. Jesus shows us how in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Look what it says. Let's get into it. Come unto me. Now it is Christ who is calling. You got saved because Christ, you were being called by Him. He said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. He is pulling us. He is reaching for us. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man shall open the door, I shall come in and sup with him. Actually, I'm paraphrasing. If you hear my voice, and open the door. Many of you have that memorized. But the door still has to be opened by you and me. We still have to choose to do this. I was witnessing to an atheist the other day, and they kept saying, well, I don't believe, if your God's real, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. And I said, okay, let's switch roles for a second. You're God. Would you want to be living in eternity with somebody who doesn't like you? Well, I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah. When Christ did everything necessary for mankind to be saved, He even calls us and draws us to be saved, and we go, no, I got this. I got this. My good works have paved the way. Or I will reach enlightenment. Or I don't need that. With enough resources and time, I can be God. Okay. God's like, God's a gentleman. God doesn't go against your will. God goes, okay. So who sent who to hell? At that moment of choice. Who made the choice? It says, come unto me. Come unto me. He is calling. And all that come to him are secure in Christ. It says in John 6:37, it says, and all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That there isn't a reason you can give God that once you've been saved, that he will throw you away. Come unto me. He is calling. He wants us to live in victory. He wants us to have freedom. And he's saying, come. Come to me. Now, have you ever found yourself relating to Christ in this way? You ever have to repeat yourself to your kids? Miss Tish, do you ever have to repeat yourself? Why do you do that? Because it's important, right? What you're about to say is important. You're not sure they got it. They give you that deer in the headlight look. You're like, hey, come on, wake up. You know, what do you got to do? I got to get through. So God says it twice in this section of scripture. Look at it now. He says in Matthew 11, 28, and I will give you rest. And in verse 29, he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But this promise is to those who are laboring. Look at this. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Now, the rest Christ is talking about is not relaxation or taking of ease. It's talking about a person like floundering in a lake. You know, they're struggling to save themselves. I remember the first time I got on one of those silly Sea-Doos. I got probably 30 yards from the shore, and somebody's Fruit of the Looms got sucked up in the bottom of that thing, and I was like stranded. But I had the life vest on so tight I could barely breathe. It's the first time I've ever been on one, so I was kind of freaked out, and I'm strapping it down like body armor. So I get in the water, and I'm like, I can't breathe. What? Because you're floundering. You are laboring to save yourself. And I want you to understand that man-made religion has no guarantees of heaven. Man-made religion is a farce. It is not the truth of the gospel that you're looking for. It's man-made, and it's lost people are constantly without rest or peace because they're laboring to be saved. You're going to find that a saved person, even though they're on their way to heaven, but in the midst of their self-will, will not have rest either. They're laboring because they're trying to serve God according to their own self-will. And as I asked earlier, how often does God do the things the way you want them to do? Does God ever do anything the way you think He ought to do them? How many people would still be alive tomorrow night at 5 if God did things the way you wanted them done? Right? Huh? Think about it. God never does things the way I think He ought to do them. And you know what else is funny? God never does things when I want them done. Does anybody else relate to that? There in Arkansas, there was this McDonald's that had this digital stopwatch at the pickup window. So as soon as you gave your order, if you didn't have it in your hand in 3 minutes, it was free. So we'd pull up to the door, and me and the kids would be looking at that clock, watching it run down to 3 minutes. And, you know, we want God to be like that. We don't want God. We want God to not inconvenience us by having to wait. See, our self-will makes us want to have God that way. You know, it's funny. My kids, I'm from Illinois, so the mixed family dream is to own a junkyard. Anybody else got one of those? It's in my blood, man. But you know, since moving to Alexandria and to Kingstown, my kids want us, the mixed family dream is to open a 7-Eleven. That's what they want, man. I call it the mixed vice store. Why? Or men's vice store. Why? Because I mostly see men in there. And number two, you can get anything you want there, bad stuff or good stuff. It's got it all. I mean, it's got gambling, it's got beer, it's got tobacco, it's got electronic accessories for your phone, it's got a DVD machine, you punch a button and out pops a DVD. It's got all the junk, and that's what my kids want. My kids are like, we could just walk through from the living room into the store and we could get taquitos. Wouldn't it be great to live in a 7-Eleven? Huh? Get Slurpees. All the time. I mean, we would love it. That's the new dream. Why? 7 days a week, taquitos and Slurpees. That's a dream that could possibly come true in a neighborhood near you. Does God work according to our convenience? No, God is not. I just love this. When I realized this about my kids, when we started to realize we were creating a demanding little booger, and we turned that ship around, it became fun not doing things when he wanted it. It became fun. Oh, just cry me a handful. Just cry me a handful. Bless God. Yeah, cry me a handful. Go ahead. Cry. You still ain't going to get it. See, at Christmas time, it's my wife's joy to give them toys. It's my joy to make them wait. God doesn't do things the way I want them done, and God doesn't do them when I want them done. And you know, a saved, self-willed Christian is never at rest because we're also trying to serve God according to our own power. I mean, how often does God move that mountain when you ask Him? You know, it's funny. I live in a neighborhood with really interesting people. I really do. They've reached a certain rank or place in their career. They have security clearances. They've done really cool stuff. They do really cool stuff. They see really cool stuff. They get involved in really cool. They've gone really cool places. I mean, most of these people have at least 6 years of secondary education. I mean, they've got a master's degree. Some have a doctorate. Some have 6 or 8 years of education. And I see them out there in my neighborhood being led around by a 3-pound peekaboo. And that little peekaboo takes them wherever you want to go. Because, oh, how terrible it'd be if you went, come here, kid. Like my dog. My dog, I got a choke chain. Like, my dog's dumb. And my dog's like 100 pounds, and he'll like drag you. You don't take him for a walk, he takes you for a walk. But I see these people, they're educated, they're wealthy, they've got smarts beyond anything I've ever seen or done, and they're being led around. Let's go over here, we'll snoo this in. And then I see them, and the irony blows me away. And here's this person who I swear, Monday through Friday, everybody goes, putting on a bag and picking up the stuff. I mean, do they teach you that in your master's degree program? Your advanced engineering degree, did you get that? And I think to myself, that's how we as self-willed Christians are. We want to be that little 3-pound peekaboo that makes eternal God follow us around and pick up our business. And he goes where we want him to go. When we want to go. And clean up after us. Wherever we go. All of a sudden, you're starting to understand how self-will really makes a monkey out of the Lord. That's why he doesn't answer like you want him to. That's why he doesn't move that mountain. Because as a self-willed Christian, oh, but we're so cute, like a peekaboo. No, you're not. No, you're not. It says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 speaks of that rest that God offers us. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 11, let me read it to you real quick. The Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Rest, like a cold drink on a hot day. Not rest from the work of God, but rest in the work of God. The self-willed servant of God gets weary in the work. They do. We do. But never of it. Because busyness is not holiness. Now, God's rest is not inactivity. It's not taking of ease. But a harmonious working with God, body and soul. See, when you got saved, you were at peace with God. But when you submit your self-will to God, you now have the peace of God. That's how it works. Now, it says in verse 29, look at it now. Matthew 11 and verse 29. Well, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is not an egg. It is a piece of wood that lashes two animals together. Because synergy happens at that moment. You may have a horse that can pull 2,000 pounds or 3,000 pounds and another horse that can pull 5, and you think, well, 5 and 3 make 8. You'll be astounded to find out, no, they can actually pull 12 or 13,000 together. It's called synergy. When you put two animals together. Now, you're not supposed to put two dissimilar animals together. You're not supposed to put an ox and a donkey. Why? Because they don't think the same way. They don't act the same way. They're two different animals. They don't have the same stride. You ever do a three-legged race with a kid? You're basically just carrying the kid, right? It's like walking. Mrs. Mix and I don't do a lot of long walks. We just don't. Why? Because what I do is I take a step, and then she takes three, and then I take another step, and then she takes three. And I mean, I almost got to walk like somebody off The Walking Dead to kind of slow down to keep up with her. You can't lash two animals together that are different. It doesn't work. That's why it says don't be unequally yoked. You've heard that sermon. But the yoke is actually a sign of authority. It's a sign of Christ's authority. Remember, this is not my yoke I'm putting on you. It's not the Baptist church's yoke that we're putting on you. It's not man's religion yoke that we're putting on you. Do you understand? I'm not doing anything. But when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got in the yoke with Jesus. It's not that I lost my will. It's the fact that by giving my will to Christ, it frees us. A yoke is nothing more than a large piece of wood that you put across the back of animals. And see, the problem is, you and I think that if we end up getting involved in a church and we start acting like a Christian, somehow I'm going to have to carry this thing all by myself all day long. And that's what we think. We think that yoke is there to keep us under and keep us from having fun and all of that. But the problem is, it was meant to have two people in it. The yoke is two people. Come here, brother. Austin, come help me. Come here, brother Austin. Come here. See, when you got saved, you got yoked up to Jesus. Don't know if you knew that or not. Come here, stand on that second step, bro. Put this thing on your shoulder. Well, I better go top step, bro. Better go top step. Okay, now, you think you're supposed to carry this thing by yourself, but you're not. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, when you line up a whole bunch of zeros, what do you have? Nothing. Zero is zero. Nothing is nothing, and there's nothing to it but that. There's nothing. It's zero. But when you put a one in front of a zero, what do you got? Step down here, buddy. Take it. Bring it on. Now, here's what happened. Me and Austin are yoked up. Now, Austin don't want to go where I want to go. So Austin can't get out of the yoke, so what's Austin going to do? He's going to pull on it. So, act like you're going to go over there. Now, I want to go this way. Austin wants to go that way. Now, are we still going where I want to go? Yeah, I'm still going forward. But who's getting the chafe mark on his neck? Do you understand that you're yoked with Jesus and you are going to go? But you're the one with the sore neck, chafing against God's will with your own self. Now, the beauty of being yoked with Jesus is the same beauty if he and I were yoked together. You think to yourself, Austin's a tough little guy. But when he's yoked with me, he shares in everything I have to offer when it comes to strength and stability. He now has access to that because he's yoked to me. Tough little guy, but I bet you a buck I can lift more than he can. He now has access to my strength, my stability, if he'll just bring his self-will under my yoke and go in the same direction. Come on, Bubba. See, it doesn't hurt when we go in the same direction. See, before you got saved, you were yoked with Satan. And there was no chafing going on because you and him were going in the same direction the world wanted you to go. But now, as a self-willed Christian who wants to live their own will, you're yoked to Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, son, I don't want you to go over there. I want you to go over here. You're like, but I don't want to go over there. I don't want to go here. No, son, we're going this way. And you're like, I want to go over there. And you pull and you tug and you chafe against it. But when you submit to God's will, Austin now has access to all my strength, all my stability, all my power, all my future promises and hopes. They're all at his disposal. They're all given to him because he's underneath the same yoke I am. Thank you, Brother Austin. Thank you. See, the problem is we think the yoke of Jesus Christ is heavy, but it's not. Because it's his. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you're not carrying it by yourself. You're carrying it with Jesus. And you know, the truth is Jesus got the short end. He's having to carry it all. Right? But the question is who's getting the chafe? Because it isn't Jesus, it's you. When your will pulls in the opposite direction. See, this is what happens when you get married. You come under the yoke. It says you get married, now the two of you are linked together. When we got married, I was lost. Ms. Mix was saved. She had the Holy Spirit inside her. She knew something was wrong. She knew something wasn't right. We're together. And I'm dragging her away from where she wants to be. I'm dragging her in the different direction. Why? Because I'm not the same animal. I'm not the same motive. I ain't got the same goals. I don't have the same view of life. And I am dragging her. Because I'm bigger. You think, well, I'm a man and I'm a Christian. Yeah, but that little girl knows how to turn your head. And that's why they put rings in the nose of the ox. Because if it only takes a little pressure on that ring and you can make that 400 or 4,000 pound ox move. That's all it takes. Do you understand? When you marry somebody who isn't saved, separated, or serving, you are going to be two different animals moving in the wrong direction and fighting against each other. Christian, you're yoked to Jesus. And all that He offers is now ours if we'll submit to Him. See, if I give my wife everything that I am, everything that I'm going to be, I get all that she is and is going to be. See, the problem is you're waiting for Jesus to do what you want, when you want, when it's convenient, and according to your will. And you're like the little dog, trying to lead the Savior to where you want to go. You're the one that ends up thinking they're in charge. But all you're really going to get is a sore neck. Are you under His yoke today? If you died, are you sure you go to heaven? When did you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? When did you submit your will to His and trust Christ? Oh, you remember when you did? That's good. Did you get baptized? This little lady today is going to get baptized because she knows she's saved. She wants to do right by Jesus and follow Him in a believer's baptism. Have you ever done that? Well, I got baptized before I was saved. No, you didn't. You got wet. There was no informed consent. Now you know it's time to do it. You member of the church? You need to become a member of the church. Why? Because the Bible teaches that. It's not my yoke you're getting under. Thank God you don't have to do what I think. It's Jesus's. It's not heavy. But if you give everything you are to Him, everything you'll become, you get everything He is. Everything He has. It's yours. If you'll come under His will. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to pray. And I want to give you an opportunity to have victory. To have the rest that He is talking about. That peace, not just with God, but that peace that is of God that passes all understanding. If you'll come and just submit your will to God's will, let God have it. Our Father and our God, we love You. And in the next few moments, I ask God that You'd speak to every heart and every soul. I ask God that You would help us. Father, please convict us of our sin. Show us our self-will, God. Show us where we are not giving You all that we are so that we can have all that You are. Please, God, convict us of our sin. Convince us of our need. And we will call upon You. Father, today, You know the needs that are represented in this room. You know the hurts and the pains and the struggles. I ask God that You would help. God, that You would help. That You would speak. And that You would free each and every one of my brothers and sisters today. That they would walk in freedom with You. In Jesus' name, amen. As she sings, the altar is open. There's people here to pray with you if you'd like to be prayed with. Won't you come? On the day I got saved, I told God no. And He was willing to let it go. Then I came to my senses. I laid my pride down. And I put my faith and trust on Him. Don't let your pride keep you from being saved. You're a Christian, you know it. Don't let your pride keep you from all that Christ is and that Christ has. Don't let that happen. Because it's your pride that the self-will has brought up as a blockade. Won't you lay down your pride and your self-will and submit it to His will for His glory?
Where sin runs deep, Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where You are. And where You are, Lord, I am free.
Some have come and I can't help but think there are still
Christ in me.
Some of us that may need to look at our situation with Jesus
Lord, I
and have
am
we submitted to His authority and His yoke?
Is Christ in me?
Are we willing to let Him lead us?
Lord, I need.
What a great illustration to show the struggle we deal with, maybe on a daily basis, fighting against God in our life, trying to maintain that control.
My righteousness, oh God.
When if we would just but submit.
Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Amen. Thank you for your attention. Just because